Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.roniezone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. And this is for the voicemails for the Stranger Once Upon a Time episode. And this is May 3rd, 2012.
Yes, it is.
And even though Wayne has said my name, I'm still Jeff Roni and you are still...
Colleen Roni.
All right. We have bunches of things to cover. So I kind of want to jump in.
Okay.
Because we have bunches of voicemails and bunches of things to discuss. And
yay.
It's going to be a good show, but it is a full show.
Okay.
So I want to play a clip from the episode to kind of get us talking.
Okay.
Here we go.
You saved me. Oh, where are you? Oh, where are you? Oh, no. No. I wish I could save you, my boy.
We still can.
Please, save him. Look, look.
I'm a real boy. I'm a real boy.
Thank you. I don't know how I can ever repay you. This is all I ever wanted.
You and Pinocchio have found each other. Now go. Live your life together as a family.
Come, my son.
Remember, Pinocchio, be brave, truthful, and unselfish. So long as you do that, you will always remain the real boy.
So.
What?
So, a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
Is she said she wasn't sure what the dark curse would do to Pinocchio.
She didn't say that in this clip.
Right. But
you're saying later on.
Later on.
Okay, let's clarify just to make sure.
So, but she did say that if he was brave, truthful, and unselfish.
As long as you remain brave, truthful, and unselfish, you will always remain a real boy.
Right. Now, he became a real boy in mm-hmm. fairy tale land by magic.
Mm-hmm.
But in Storybrooke, he seems to have this, he's going back.
Right.
So I guess my point is good decisions, doing good things, could have good, possibly.
Right, because
based on what she said.
Because if he's reverting, it's because he's not remaining a real boy because he's not being brave, truthful, and unselfish.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That yep. would stand to reason.
So I guess my thing is I started to think that maybe magic in Storybrooke could be good actions.
Mm-hmm.
Or on the other hand, bad actions could take you farther away or hinder or hamper you.
Right. Right. And I honestly think that if he continues with what he did at the end, where he was talking to Marco and has decided to work for Marco and spending time with him, I think that's going to start to either slow down his reverting back to Wooden Boy or reverse it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And also kind of carrying that out, if that is in fact the litmus test for magic,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
good actions...
Mm-hmm.
Bad actions.
Right.
How is Mr. Gold being affected
hmm.
by those? How is Regina being affected by those decisions?
Hmm. Interesting.
David Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on and on and on.
Right.
The different people is, it'd be interesting to kind of watch how the life has changed.
Mm-hmm.
by these decisions.
Right.
So that was right. that was kind of the big thing I was thinking of is he said, I want magic. I need magic.
Right.
But if he would have remembered what the Blue Fairy said, he doesn't need magic at all.
Hmm.
It's decisions.
Decisions.
And right. so it'd be interesting to kind of see what happens to his leg. Kind of like I was mentioning the Back to the Future, the changing of the picture
uh-huh.
based on actions.
Right, so, right, right. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was that. And now we're going to play a few clips because I had some more thoughts on this. So here we go. I'll try not to choke up.
Okay.
And how does this story end?
With you believing.
Not going to happen.
That tree won't make you believe. Maybe this will.
How does that prove anything?
Look.
August, I'm looking.
You don't see it, do you?
See what?
Your denial is more powerful than I thought. It's preventing you from seeing truth.
Okay, one of us is losing it here, and it's not me.
You don't want to believe. After everything you've seen, why can't you just do it?
Why is it so important to you that I do?
Because I, the town, everyone needs you.
I don't want them to need me.
Well, that's too bad because we all do.
You're saying that I am responsible for everyone's happiness? That is crap. I didn't ask for that. I don't want it.
Right now, a little while ago, you didn't want Henry either, but then he came to you and now you are fighting like hell for him.
For him? Because that is all I can handle right now. And I'm not even doing a good job at that. Now you're telling me I have to save everyone? That is beyond ridiculous. I don't want any of it.
Well, that's too bad, Emma. Because that doesn't change the truth. You're our only hope.
Then you're all screwed.
So... one of the things I wanted to bring up was that people, I was going to say females,
mm-hmm.
but it's people.
Sure.
They set these limits of what they can handle right. at a certain point in time.
Right.
I can't handle this anymore.
Right.
You know, and it was just interesting that she kind of set this level of, look, I just want to focus on Henry and I can't, this is just too much for me. So it was very interesting. And
yeah.
And I started thinking about this clip, and I wanted to, she, about belief, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about. So let me play this.
Mm-hmm. If God, only a leap from the lion's head, he proved his worth.
So,
wow, that was such a great scene. Mm-hmm. First time I saw that, I was just blown away.
We did touch on this last mm-hmm. time, but I kind of want to pull it together now, is seeing in this case, in Once Upon a Time, seeing isn't believing, it's believing then seeing. And then we have this, this here is, It's a leap of faith. And it was interesting because if you don't believe, you can leap and you'll die. You know, you'll just fall to your death. But if you believe,
yeah.
That's what catches you
mm-hmm.
in some instances.
Right.
So that was one of the scenes that I was thinking about. When, you know, she couldn't see it, you know, and some people can point to the Bible and say Thomas and all that, but this kind of goes beyond that. And, you know, when we're talking about someone who's going to be the savior, and she just said, I don't want it.
I didn't ask for this.
I don't want any of this.
Right.
And there's so many situations, you know, when you look in the Bible, or there's someone who is leading for change for something.
Right.
Sometimes they don't want it, but they have to do it. And it was just that whole scene was very interesting because, you know, from what I saw in the episode, at the end, we saw through August's eyes that he could see his leg.
Right.
But at the beginning, actually, was a front shot of his leg.
Yes, it was.
And so you mentioned that maybe it's us.
Right,
it's
because we believe. Mm-hmm. We believe. We already believe. We already know. We've seen. We have seen the truth.
Yeah.
So we're not the ones that need to be convinced. Emma is.
Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing is when she looks at his leg, she sees a real leg.
A human leg. Mm-hmm.
When he sees his leg, it's the wooden leg.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, one of the questions I was kind of running by you is, for instance, I wonder what Graham would see. after he woke up and believed who he really was.
Mm, yes.
I wonder if Storybrooke is Fairytale Land. Mm. Or I wonder if things look differently. There's a crazy movie years ago. It's called They Live. And it was about this. Everyone looked like monsters. And there's these glasses that you could put on and you could see people for who they were. It was a little bit of The Devil's Advocate, too, where you could see under people and their soul.
Or actually, a more current or recent movie would be Shallow Hal.
Right. That's right.
That was a great, great movie and a fantastic example of what we're talking about. Yep. When he looked at Gwyneth Paltrow's character, he saw a beautiful, thin woman. And when we all looked at her, not through his eyes, we saw her as she wasn't quite so thin. Mm-hmm. So, and same thing with many of the other characters, but yeah, I wonder if that is exactly what happened with Graham, is that he, once his eyes were open, everything looked different to him.
Right. And, you know, August many times says, I wanted to see the light. I wanted to believe.
Right.
You know, so we have that, but there was an email that came in not too long ago. What if Storybrooke is like the Harry Potter story, in that the train stop was
Hogwarts Express. Correct. You couldn't get to it unless you knew how to get to it.
Yeah, it was whatever and a third or something like that.
Right.
Right. So I was thinking that maybe there's three types of people. There's people who have nothing to do with the curse or breaking the curse, and they don't see Storybrooke at all.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they just either drive through it, or they drive through and it's nothing. It's a
forest.
It's just forest,
an empty forest.
Mm-hmm. And they can actually get out and walk around, but it's not there.
Right, it's not there. It's unplottable.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
because it's in a different dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the second is people who have been cursed, but don't believe who they are in Fairytale Land, and they see Storybrooke as we see it.
Right.
Different shops and this and that. But I believe there's a third, where people who are somehow connected to the curse or Fairytale Land, and they believe who they are, and they may see Fairytale Land in Storybrooke or see Storybrooke in a whole different way that we would never even think about.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
Anyway, I think the last thing is just, you know, we kind of touched on it, being a hero and all that, and you know, stepping into your destiny, letting go of the past and all that.
Right. The reluctant hero.
Right. So, you know, and that's kind of, you know, we've seen that over and over, but that's pretty right there. It's like, I didn't ask for this. Right. I don't want it.
Right.
And
your denial is so much more powerful than, you know, he expected. That's right. What he told her. It's, you know, so yeah, she's very definitely a reluctant hero.
What I think is interesting is there are two sides to a hero. Remember Spider-Man 2, I think it was?
Okay.
Where Spider-Man was having a bad couple of days. And initially it was like, man, he's a hero. Boy, look at this. He's saving all this kind of thing. And then now he's kind of caught up in the minutiae of all this. And he just gets tired of it.
Right.
You know, or Bruce Almighty, the same kind of thing where he had the powers of, he could answer prayers.
Right.
And at first it was fun.
Right.
But then he answered all yes or all this. And
The repercussions were phenomenal, yeah.
So normally, if we're going to be a hero, it's like, well, heck yeah. You know, I want all the accolades. I want everything. But it's interesting that she just says, no, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Right.
And it's just, it's very interesting because normally everybody wants to be a hero.
I think people want to be a hero because they think that there's glory in it. Mm. They don't understand the sacrifice.
Right.
Because heroes almost every single time have to make some sort of sacrifice. Small or large, it has to happen. And so I think people forget about that and just see the accolades and the glory, and that's what they want.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to jump in, and I'm going to play this. It's a week late, and I'm sorry to Obi's girl. I had trouble getting it out, so I'm going to play it now.
Cool.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. Obi's girl here. Watched The Return the other night, and the mystery of August W. Booth continues. I'm still not buying that he is Pinocchio because he came in much later in the Once Upon a Time story. And plus, Pinocchio could not have known to look for the dagger, so now I'm thinking that August is maybe Bellfire's son, making him Mr. Gold's grandson. And the reason why I say that is because in Fairy Tale Land, Rumpelstiltskin wanted to keep the dagger a secret. He even killed his maid to keep her from possibly revealing anything about it, even though she was mute. If Balefire did in fact come to our world, grew up here, got married here, but at some point separated from his son, it's not impossible to think that he could have passed down the stories of Fairytale Land to August. And if Storybrooke is a land without magic, sometimes at least, why didn't Rumpel destroy the dagger before August came along? Can't wait to listen to the podcast. You guys rock.
Thank you so much. Again, sorry, I'm late. I'm playing. I'm so sorry. But I love the theories that come along.
Mm-hmm.
And we know, but still, you got a good head on your shoulders. I love the mm-hmm. way you are putting together these theories. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. So now I'm going to play. And a couple of these voicemails were called in before we saw the episode, but they have some really great, cool things. So
okay.
We're going to go ahead and play those.
Okay.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Marilyn from Long Beach. Finally got up the nerve to actually call instead of email. Just a couple comments on last week's episode. Even though everybody seems to be leaning towards August being Pinocchio, I just thought it was rather interesting that in Mr. Gold's shop, where he was standing, you could see over Booth's shoulder oil cans up on the shelf, featured rather prominently. And also there was a shoeshine box that kind of caught my eye that said shine. And when I was looking up the Tin Man, it said that in late 19th century America that men made out of various tin pieces were used in advertising and political cartoons. And one of the advertisements that they showed on Wikipedia was actually for an ad for soap that featured a tin man and a shoeshine boy. And the title of the ad said shine. So I kind of found that interesting. Also, August's motorcycle, I believe, had Kansas license plates. And in the original stories, apparently, I'm only familiar with the Wizard of Oz movie, but apparently in the stories, the character of the Tin Woodsman, his name before he became Tin was Nick Chopper, and Chopper is another name for motorcycle. And that's kind of all that I have this time. I'm still kind of like leaning towards him being Pinocchio, but it's possible they could have just, you know, muddied the waters, and he's not going to be Pinocchio. You do a great podcast. Really appreciate it. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.
Thanks, Marilyn.
That was very cool about that ad. I've never heard anything about that.
No, I didn't either, and that is really cool. So, yeah, we do know that he is definitely Pinocchio, but I thought for half a second, would they be blending the two? But then I thought, I didn't think so. And then I assumed that all the information that she just shared about that was pretty much red herrings to kind of trick us yet again, or could be foreshadowing that we will see the Tin Man later.
Yeah, that could be too. And the one thing I did want to point out that I noticed too was that that Emma dusted off the old red sweater and she wore mm-hmm. red again.
Yeah, she did.
And so to me, that means that she's remembering, or at least it's a foreshadow of she's going to be who she is supposed to be.
Because
she used to wear red a lot.
Yeah, she did.
When she first came. Yeah. And then she started to kind of blend in.
Right.
So, anyway, this is Disney Girl 85.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Disney Girl 85 on Twitter, Kristen. I just wanted to run by a theory with you. Colleen, I must confess that for a long time I did not think that August was Pinocchio, and to be honest, I still don't think he is. However, I have a twist for you. What if August is another magical wooden puppet that the Blue Fairy created from the wood from the tree trunk that Geppetto carved the portal for Emma? I'm thinking this because, first of all, if August was Pinocchio, why would he not seek out Geppetto if he was his father? That doesn't seem to make much sense to me. So that is my theory. So let me know what you think. Thanks for all you do. I love the podcast. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks, Kristen, so much.
Yeah, thanks.
So what we obviously know.
Right. We know the truth of what's going on right now.
But I did want to talk about those three trees.
Okay.
The one's still there.
Right.
That's for the wardrobe.
Right. And then the other two.
But then there's other two. One probably was for Pinocchio.
Right. Right.
But the third one.
Maybe the boat that they were on or some other vessel.
And that's, I think, what she was kind of leaning towards, is maybe there was another magical wooden boy, but it could have been a boat.
Possibly. I think that would have been maybe, but it almost seems too obvious to make another puppet out of it.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
There's a lot of boats.
And again, it doesn't have to be a boat. It could be any number of things. Maybe it was the windmill. Maybe it was, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's any number of items that could have been, you know, or maybe nothing. Maybe something destroyed the tree before it had a chance to fulfill its purpose. I don't know. But anyway, back to the fact of, he as Pinocchio, we know why he didn't seek out Geppetto at first, because, you know, he felt ashamed of what he'd done.
Well, true, but there may be more to the story. That's what I keep thinking about.
There may be more to the story, but I think the crux of why he didn't go seek him out originally is plain and simple. He knew that he failed in his mission. He was tasked with, you keep watch over Emma, and he totally left her after she was, you know, put in the orphanage.
Right.
So I think he felt ashamed for that because he knew he'd let his father down. He was afraid of what his father would say. Pretty sure that's kind of, I mean, there's obviously more to the story, but I don't think there's more to the reason why behind. Maybe. I just don't think so.
And she also called in again and mentioned that Blue Fairy actually needed some help to convince Emma who she was. So, and also that she thinks the only people in Storybrooke who don't believe who they are is Mary Margaret and David.
Well,
don't.
Mary Margaret and David don't know who they are.
Right.
We know that. I think there are others who do, but I don't think everybody does. And we know that for a fact right now, Geppetto doesn't know who he is, unless he's faking August out and doesn't realize who he is. And that's a possibility. Okay. But I kind of think there are others who do and who are pretending because they don't want to get destroyed like Graham did. Because if they do know who they are and they know what happened to Graham and they know who he was, they pretty much know what happened to him.
Yep.
So.
All right. So here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Morgan from Minnesota. And first of all, I'd like to say I love the show and I love you guys. Obviously, I think you're great. And this is my first voicemail I'm leaving on any podcast. So, woo, exciting. I just had a bit to say in response to your voicemail episode that I listened to last night, and I wish I would have thought of this earlier, but it was obviously when you guys were talking, so you throw around a lot of great ideas. So this is what I came up with. When Colleen was discussing about the Blue Fairy and her discussion with Bay about where she was going to send Rumple, where he couldn't use his magic. And she said she was going to send him to a place where he couldn't use his powers. And then when she gave him the bean and he threw the bean, there was this green tornado. And the green tornado reminded me a lot of Oz, like in the Land of Oz. And what I was thinking was maybe Balefire and Rumple were intended to go to the Land of Oz. Now, obviously, there is magic in Oz and a lot of that stuff, but maybe Rumple's powers, his dark powers, wouldn't necessarily work there or something along that line. So another thing I was thinking was maybe if Balefire, maybe he isn't in our world, he's actually in the Land of Oz, and maybe if they can ever get Jefferson's hat to work, or once Emma starts believing in magic, they'll be able to get the hat to work. They can go into different lands through the hat network, and maybe they'd be able to go into Oz and possibly find Balefire again. Once again, just like to say thank you guys so much for doing such a great job on the show. Love to all the dearies, Evil Regals, T7, all of you guys. Love you so much. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Morgan. So first of all, very cool that she called into our podcast, and she's never called into any other podcast before. That's pretty awesome. So yay for that. And secondly, I like the theory. I think it's very, very plausible that I agree with her. I saw the tornado, the green tornado, and immediately thought Oz. And so yeah, I see that it is very possible that Balefire and Rumple maybe were intended to go to the Land of Oz, because though the Wicked Witch of the West and the Wicked Witch of the East did have some magic, there wasn't any real magic in the other characters. So, yeah, maybe his powers wouldn't work there for some reason.
Yep.
And I like the whole, you know, Jefferson's hat, and the fact we did definitely see a very green curtain that looked like it had the word Oz embroidered on it. So I do believe we're going to see Oz at some point in time in the future. And maybe that's where we will find Balefire, because I do not believe he's in Storybrooke. I just don't.
Yep.
So
Mason called a couple of times, and I want to, the first thing is he was pointing out that we do start most of the stories at the end in Once Upon a Time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of what we're used to. And sometimes it's way before the beginning. And so it's at different points that we're kind of not used to. And also, it was kind of hard to believe that Pinocchio found Emma. And, you know, the thing I was thinking of is maybe he's lying about that too. We kind of take it for granted sometimes.
We do, but we see the story, know for a fact that he did find her.
Right.
We saw the evidence of it. So that's the only reason why I if we hadn't seen that, it might have been a little harder to believe, but
yeah. So I'm going to play this one here.
Okay.
Here's Mason.
Hey guys, it's Mason again. As I was saying, I also noticed that when Geppetto and everyone was telling Pinocchio that as long as he remains good and truthful and unselfish, he'll always remain a real boy. I like to think that if he was told not to lie, you know, granted it would have taken a while for the curse to catch up with Pinocchio, because obviously when someone of authority found the two, you know, they naturally asked, where are you guys from? Well, nobody's going to believe him when he says, I came from the land full of magical creatures and all the tales that you've read and such. You know, so naturally he would have to lie to protect both of them, or he might have told them the truth. My father abandoned us or something, even though Geppetto didn't really abandon Pinocchio. I love the nod to the Tron. The lunchbox, that was awesome. It makes me wonder if they made that lunchbox. another thing that I noticed was that, was when Geppetto acknowledged that Jiminy was responsible. I was like, wow, it's amazing that he was able to forgive Jiminy or at least attempt to forgive him for what Jiminy accidentally did to his parent. I just thought that was amazing that Geppetto kind of snapped up the cricket. You know, it was just like, yeah, if someone accidentally killed my parents too, I'd be a little upset with them too. And I thought the scene between Jacob and Emma as a baby was just so adorable, so adorable. I was like, it just made my heart melt. I was like, I was so sad when he decided to abandon her, and I'm glad that he had to pay the price for abandoning her. It seems reasonable. You know, he didn't fall through. He fell into temptation. Jimmy said that in this new land, there will be newer and more dangerous temptations. So I thought that was pretty good. The guy that took the toolbox could be a combination of both both Stromboli and the coachman. In the book, the Stromboli was more than happy to let Pinocchio go home, but I think Pinocchio had to stay for a couple.
And what'd you think about that, Mr. Reskin?
He did look a lot like the coachman. Yeah. He was very gruff and rare. So it'll be interesting to see if he comes up later, if they talk about him, if he was just, you know, a background character of sorts. We'll see. But I did think it was a good thought that, yeah, he could be a combination of the two of them. That wouldn't surprise me in the least.
And that was so cute.
Oh, my gosh.
When little Pinocchio was making faces.
Well, first of all, that baby was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably pretty baby. And I thought it was so cute that he was, you know, so sweet to put a kiss on her forehead and kind of pat her head a little bit. It was very sweet.
And Mason also went on to let us know that it was actually J. Worthington Foulfellow.
Okay.
And Gideon. Those were the two.
Okay.
So, because I call him the cat looking thing too.
Yeah, and I think I called it Honest John, and Honest John was actually something else, but anyway.
Yep. Cool. And here is the next voicemail.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, guess who it is? It's your favorite, Alma Furbush. So yeah, this is actually a special little call that I know last week I kind of did a hello. It wasn't really a big thing for a voicemail or whatever, but I thought I'd call in this time and give you a little sneak peek of the email I'm going to be sending you guys. I just got done writing it. It's not as good as the others, like I always say. But special hello to both you guys and also the deputies. Gotta send love to them. And I haven't really come up with a title yet, but this is a rough draft. So I'm going to read you a couple of lines. And the title's A Stranger. I haven't come up with a fancy one yet. So I'm going to read you. Here we go. August, Mary, and Emma doing some wood shop on Mary's door to keep Regina out. Oh, Mary, if Regina wants in, she gets in. Mary's ready to see kids again. She's crazy. Emma's going to hire Gold to build a case against Regina. Good luck with that. Emma's so not ready for that, for a kid. Wait till Henry starts calling you an evil queen. Code Red. August wants to take Emma on a magical mystery tour. Mm-hmm. Henry looks like a businessman drinking his cocoa and reading his book. Now you notice the book has been altered? No! Oh, Henry, gotta love ya. Pinocchio's story has been altered. Oh, August W. LaBeouf, or should I say, Woody. It's so much better when Jeff reads it, and that's a little sneak peek of what you're going to get on Saturday. Hopefully everything gets worked out, and I'll be able to hear the podcast. Looking forward to it, looking forward to the voicemails, and always big love to you guys. You guys know how to treat us well. Evil Regals, Charmings, all those people. It's a big Once Her Family. And big love, and I will catch you guys on Saturday, and I will catch the voicemail on Thursday. So see you.
Thank you, thank you.
Thanks. And by the way, we do need to say, for those that are going to listen to this when it gets posted, the live show won't be Saturday this week. It's actually Friday night. So you guys get two nights in a row of us.
Yep.
Anyway.
So we're trying to...
She's hilarious.
She is. Thank you so much, girl. Okay?
Yep.
All right.
We do. We love it.
So Tyler called in, and I'm trying to kind of... Please don't hate me. I'm trying to kind of condense things down, and that's why you're not hearing all the voicemails. I'm trying to condense.
Right.
So Tyler called in, and he also enjoyed the Tron shout-out, and also his marching band at school, played mm-hmm. a Magical Mystery Tour in a medley.
So oh, very cool.
That was cool. And we will... And we will play his other voicemail, which he did a rewatch.
Cool.
And he's going to give some info on that. And this next voicemail, I'm not going to play now. I'll play it later.
Tease.
Here is Tyler's next voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, it's Tyler. I am rewatching the pilot, and I'm not noticing that same... looks between the Blue Fairy and Geppetto, but at the same time, it's not showing Geppetto when she says the whole line about it can save only one. It's showing Snow White and Prince Charming. The other thing I was wondering about is, of the stories we've seen played out in Fairy Tale World, how much of that do you think is actually in the book? Because we know some of it isn't, obviously, after this last episode. And I'm betting some of the other things aren't in it. Otherwise, like, Henry would probably have figured out that Mr. Gold is Rumpelstiltskin by now. So, just wondering what your thoughts are there. So, just thought I'd bring those up. And, yeah, I don't know if I just didn't see it because it's not there or because I wasn't paying attention at the right moment, but I didn't notice those same glances. So they may have reshot it. They may have filmed the same, like they may have filmed that part when they first filmed the pilot and just saved it for now. So yeah, well, I'll talk to you all later. Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler. So I think that what happened with the shots where we're seeing the council, the war council in this episode, excuse me, I think what they did was they took original footage from the pilot, which they already filmed, and then they filmed those looks between those folks separately, and probably, sorry, my Wookiee, sorry, filmed those separately after the fact. So, because the magic of film these days, it's amazing what you can do. So I think they blended the two together in post-production is what I think. That's just my opinion. But I do want to go back to the other thing he brought up, which was...
What?
The other thing he brought up, which all of a sudden left my head. Mm-hmm. The train left the station. Help me.
Okay. The stories in the book?
Yes, yes. Thank you. Sorry. It's been a weird week. Anyway, okay. So the stories in the book. So we've kind of thought about the fact that, well, is August the author of the book? If he's the author of the book, it makes perfect sense why Rumpelstiltskin's not in it. Do you know why? Because I think I just figured it out.
Hmm.
Pinocchio didn't know Rumpelstiltskin.
Okay.
He was 7 years old when he left Fairy Tale Land.
Okay.
So if, in fact, he authored the book, that's why Rumpelstiltskin's not in there.
Yeah, but maybe...
That's a possibility.
Maybe Geppetto made a deal for him.
What do you mean he made a deal for him?
Maybe Geppetto...
He carved him out of wood.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. Sometimes I... That's right.
He carved him out of wood.
Okay.
Now, it's a possibility, too. Let's not negate your thought process altogether.
But it was a crazy thought.
No. Roll with me on this.
All right.
He carved him out of wood.
Right.
How did he come to life?
Okay.
Maybe Rumpelstiltskin gave him life.
Yeah.
But again,
because he did die on the beach there.
Yeah. He was talking on the raft. Hello, talking piece of wood.
Right.
So he may have made a deal with Rumpelstiltskin for something, some potion that gave him life. But that doesn't mean that Pinocchio ever actually knew Rumpelstiltskin or met him or dealt with him or had any interaction with him, which is why he wouldn't know about him and wouldn't know to put him in there. But that's just that's just a possibility. It's an off-the-wall theory, but anyway. And it's not even really a theory. It's just I wonder if that's why.
Well, and Jiminy would know all about Rumpelstiltskin, too. So
Jiminy would probably know all about
Rumpelstiltskin. So maybe in their discussions.
Sure.
I want to make a wooden boy. You know, I wish I had a son, so.
Well, he wished upon a star is what
right.
did it the first time.
No, anyway. Geppetto, though.
That's what I'm saying, Geppetto.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
And that's how Jiminy knew about it. Anyway.
Next voicemail, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff and Polly, it's Dave from Michigan. I've really been enjoying the show as a fan so much that I haven't picked up on a lot, but I got a piece of foreshadowing that I noticed on my second time through. I got a theory, and then I got a joke that I think that Jeff and Polly will appreciate. First is the foreshadowing. The second time watching it, in the first, I think it was 5 minutes or so, you see August tell Emma that she needs to take a leap of faith, and she said the phrase, "My son needs me. I don't have time for faith." I thought that was just a throwaway line the first time I watched it, but the second time I realized that's exactly what she tells him at the end of the show, just in a different, more emotional way. So, if we've been paying attention and taking people's words at their word, like Emma, we would have known how the episode was going to end anyways as we started getting to it. Now for my theory. Since it's been confirmed that a bunch of people are returning for the finale, A World Without Magic, I'm guessing that the backstory part of the show where they go back in the fairy tale world will actually be when they will go back to the time when people showed up in Storybrooke. And I think that one of the people that will be back will be Belle. And I think what we'll learn is that originally Belle was just out there in the world like the rest of us. But before Rumpel ever got to see that she was there, know who she was, something happened where she got put down in that jail cell. But I think her original profession was a librarian, and that's why when she got put into the thing downstairs, the jail downstairs, that they boarded up the library because there was nobody to take care of it once she was taken away. And I'm hoping that they do something at least a little bit like that to tell us about the library, because people have been speculating about it since the beginning. And then finally, my joke. Two old men were sitting in Granny's diner, and one turns to the other and says, I met a guy the other day with a wooden leg named August W. Booth. And the other one says, oh, yeah, what's the name of his other leg? All right. Have a good podcast, guys.
Oh, Dave.
Okay, Dave. Dave's the funny one now.
Oh, that's funny.
That's a good yoke, Dave. Atta boy.
It's definitely a knee slapper.
Yep.
Come on, that was funny.
A wooden knee slapper.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
that's
fine. Here we go. Here's the next voicemail.
What? We're not going to address that?
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Dude, seriously? Wow.
I addressed the joke.
Yeah, let's address the theory,
all
though.
Right,
how
all
about?
Right,
okay, so I can see where that would be a definite thing where she was the librarian and she got put into the loony bin for some reason. So that's a very interesting theory. I kind of like that there. But then I thought, I wonder if she's there because Regina had her locked away Like, Regina said her father locked her away in a tower and she was scourged daily by monks or whatever it was. So I think that maybe that's the whole point, is that Regina actually is the one who kept her in the tower and she lied and said that it was her father who did it to her so that he'd go crazy. But I do think it is a very plausible and interesting theory to have her be the librarian, and something made her snap, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then she got put in the, because that is, it's not so much a jail as it is a loony bin. It's a hidden loony bin. So anyway, that's just all. I wanted to talk about that.
Cool. Coolio.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here is the next voicemail.
Hi, this is Brenda from Whiteville, Tennessee. I just called to give you my thoughts about the show. I'm kind of concerned, I guess, when I gave my theory last week. I really didn't think about the ramifications of it and the fact that Pinocchio was sent through the cupboard and was there by himself at first. And then when Emma came, he had to be responsible for her. And being a seven-year-old boy, I'm pretty sure he was kind of scared half to death. And I can't really blame him for wanting to run away with the other boys and the other kids, because he had to have been scared and he was being mistreated. And, you know, now he's trying his best to do the right thing and he feels bad. So, you know, I'm kind of rooting for Pinocchio. So give me your thoughts on that and we'll talk with you later. Bye.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thanks, Brenda. I totally agree. I think he was very scared. He was 7 years old. I mean,
okay.
7-year-olds, they're not always the most mature little children.
Yeah.
Now, he was, for being 7 years old, he was very mature. But at the same time, he was still 7 years old.
True.
So I don't blame him either for running away from the little boys. Because honestly, I think he saw his future there. I think he, you know, he even had trouble. Remember when he hogtied Jiminy Cricket and stuck him in the clock.
Right.
I'm trying to be good. I forgot, you know, and when the Blue Fairy came, he's seven. His attention span is pretty much barely bigger than that of a gnat. Right. So I don't blame him. I agree with you. I do not blame him at all. And I think, like I said, I think he really saw his future and he was worried and he figured that, you know, and he did try to take Emma with him. He wanted to take Emma. He was totally prepared to protect her and everything. So kind of sad that the boys wouldn't let him take Emma. Would have been a very different outcome.
True.
So.
And I do think that we do put this kind of spin on it is, well, Pinocchio blew it. He should have stayed with Emma. The Blue Fairy told him and all this.
He was seven.
But yeah, I mean, that's what Brenda and you are really pointing out. Mm-hmm. He's a seven-year-old boy.
Well, and by the way,
what's he going to do?
By the way, sorry. The Blue Fairy didn't tell him to stay with her and protect her. Geppetto did. Geppetto put that on his shoulders. Now, I know Geppetto is doing that because he was trying to give Pinocchio his best chance. I know that wasn't said, but that's a very popular philosophy among the parents in Once Upon a Time. So he did that to give Pinocchio his best chance. And he knew that if he instilled that in him, he would be a stand-up, amazing, wonderful man.
Yep.
And so that ties back in with what I was saying earlier. That's why I think August did not immediately connect with Geppetto or Marco, because he was afraid that he'd let him down so badly when he'd put that pressure on him to be this amazing person. And when you find me, I know you'll find me and I'll look on you with pride. That's what, I mean, he said that to him. I'll look on you with pride.
Right.
And I think that he knew that having done what he did, he basically laid guilt on his own shoulders. And so that's why he didn't go to Geppetto or Marco, because he didn't want him to not look at him with pride.
Mm-hmm. And dun, 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 this is the last voicemail.
Okay, then.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Colleen. It's Shannon from Napa. Just calling. Wanted to say hi to you guys. But also to just wonder what you guys thought about the thought, and it occurred to me, about Regina possibly killing off August now, because it seems that she only goes after the ones that are coming in between Snow White and Prince Charming and Emma and all that. So that occurred to me because that happened with Graham earlier, and I was watching 7:15 a couple days ago, and she mentioned something to Emma about something being familiar about him. So, Colleen, you're right. Great job. That was an awesome, awesome theory. So, but anyway, I was just curious to see if that thought came up to you guys and if that occurred to any of the other fans. So, hope you guys are well, and we will talk with you later. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Shannon.
Thanks, Shannon. Yeah.
It's a great point, I think. I never thought about it, but yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it hasn't crept into my head, but yeah, interesting.
That really kind of falls in line, though. Yeah.
Yeah, especially if Regina gets wind of the fact that he's trying to convince Emma. And what's funny is that she says there's something familiar about him, but did she ever know Pinocchio? That'd be an interesting pull to see how does she know him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll see. We will see what we will see, won't we?
That's true. So that's it for now, everyone. I'd like to thank everybody for all the voicemails. Mm-hmm. Even though we didn't play them all, we appreciate them all.
We do.
And we're trying to kind of condense it down. So it's just about an hour, 55 minutes.
Excellent.
And I'm trying to kind of get the shows into a more condensed manner. I'm taking notes. And I'm trying to kind of line everything up. So tomorrow will be a fun event with the emails. We'll see how that goes. So
it will be.
Anyway, thanks everyone for downloading, listening. We really appreciate it. And I just want to send big love out to everybody.
Yes.
We have two more episodes. So let's hang on together and we're going to have a fun time. So I want to say bye-bye, take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Bye.